Chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." A word from our Holy Scripture. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to turn my ringer off. Just a second here. Sorry about that. Hello? Hello? Who's this? Who is this? Yeah, right. It's not God. Who is this? Oh, it is God. Oh, sorry. Well, I'm a little bit busy right now. Can I call you back after the sermon? Okay, great. Okay, thanks. I'll talk to you later. Okay, bye. Oh, sorry about that. Forgot to turn off my ringer. Let me do that right now. Okay. That was a really strange call. Wasn't expecting that. And I didn't recognize the voice on the other end of the phone. It sounded kind of familiar, but I didn't quite place it right away. I wasn't exactly sure if I knew who that was. Even when they identified themselves, I wasn't totally sure. How am I supposed to know what God sounds like? Do you? I wonder, did I scare you? Did you think, "Oh, Jody, rookie mistake"? I wonder if Isaiah felt that way when he received his call from God. It's such a strange vision that we're given from our scripture reading today. One describing God on a lofty throne, seraphim, earthquakes, and smoke. What odd sights, sounds, and smells that must have been for Isaiah. I think I'd be confused if confronted with that situation. Confused and probably scared. So how do we know when we are hearing or seeing God? How do we recognize when God is the one calling and not something or someone else? Isaiah had a bit of a hint from the seraphim who were singing, "Holy, holy, holy." But when ordinary modern day folks like us receive a call, how do we figure that out? I, for one, haven't seen any seraphim lately. I wonder if any of you have any suggestions on how you might recognize a call from God. What would that look like? Or what would it sound like or feel like? Sorry? Persistent. Yeah. What else? This is participatory now. What else would it sound like or look like or feel like? Say that again. Light. Loud. Loud. And maybe light too. Yeah, something you can't really ignore. Mm-hmm.
Something changes.
Internally, externally, both, all, yeah. Say it again. Soulful. Yeah. Something that you feel from deep inside. Someone in DeWinton this morning said that still small voice from within. Sometimes we call it our intuition or our gut feeling.
A new perspective.
A new perspective? Yeah. What ways of delivery might a call come? What modes of delivery? Telephone!
Sometimes you get a call.
Yeah, yeah. Someone else might suggest something to you. An opportunity might open up, a door might open that you never really thought of before. Also, sometimes we might be reading something or listening to a news broadcast or something like that and have a nagging feeling that this means something for us. Sign in scripture, or who knows, maybe even a dream or a vision. You know, I don't hear about a lot of people having visions nowadays, but I'm not going to rule it out. And sometimes we have a dream, a sleeping dream that makes us think about what could be different or what a possibility might be in our lives. In our denomination, possibly one of the most well-known examples of being called by God or the Spirit is the discernment process for whether or not an individual is called to be an ordained or official lay minister. In the United Church of Canada, as in all mainstream Christian churches, one cannot simply just proclaim, "I want to be a minister," and then become ordained. There's a process called the discernment process. One recognizes that they might have a call to ministry through some of the ways that we have mentioned, and then tests out that call in community. The main part of this process is with a discernment committee, which meets with a candidate for a period of a few months or over a year to explore questions and ideas related to whether or not this person might be recognizing a true call to congregational ministry and to be a good fit. It isn't something one figures out all on their own. It's a community effort and a decision. Wouldn't that be nice when one has a big decision in life to make, to call together a group of grounded, trusted people to help you talk things through, pray about it, offer different perspectives, weigh the pros and cons with you? It would be nice sometimes, but probably sometimes it would be very challenging too, as anyone who has sat on any form of committee knows. But that's okay also. Sometimes we need to be challenged in our decision-making processes. And many of us do this in less formal ways to help with big decisions. We talk to trusted loved ones, we seek advice from professionals, we read, think, pray, reflect. Sometimes it can seem easy to know. Sometimes it can seem easy to know what the answer to a big question is, but sometimes it takes a lot more time and effort. Most of us that come to church on Sundays will not ever feel the call to be a congregational minister. And of course, that's okay. It's only one example of calling. There are many other significant ways of being called in the world, though. Think about decisions in life that you may be faced with that are not self-serving decisions. The ones that have an impact on the lives of others in ways that might be seen to be God-driven. Like sensing a call to some sort of mission or service broader than what we might normally volunteer as a good community member. Or sacrificing something significant for the benefit of others. What are some of the ways that God might be calling you to step outside of your comfort zone? Are you hearing God's call? Our reading today from Isaiah starts off by telling us that this story takes place in the year that King Uzziah died. To our modern ears, this doesn't really mean much to us because we don't know the context of what was happening around the time that King Uzziah was ruling. But as we read more into the passage and study the context of it, we can learn that during this time, the period around 742 to 736 BCE, was a time of significant unrest and transition in the kingdom of Judah. If we read a bit further in this chapter, we would hear more about this. After God calls Isaiah, God goes on to tell Isaiah that his ministry will basically fall on deaf ears, that many will not accept his teaching. This seems initially like unrelated information to the message of call for this week, but in fact it gives us a little insight into this situation. For Isaiah to be called to be a prophet in this particular time was not an appealing prospect. Isaiah had a hard road ahead of him of being ignored, mocked, and probably persecuted because of his calling. Later today in our service, we sing a beautiful hymn about being called by God, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky." In this hymn, we hear God's message saying, "God has heard the people cry, has borne the people's pain. God will tend the poor and lame. God has wept for love of them. God will set a feast for them. God's hand will save." But how does God do all of that? We answer that question ourselves in the rest of the hymn. "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." It's a gorgeous hymn and the favorite of many people. For some, it seems like a real feel-good piece of music, but it's not, actually. When you really think about the depth of sadness and concern reflected from the words of God in it, and the response that is asked of us mere mortals, it is challenging and disturbing. We are called by God to be sent to a world of pain and sorrow and brokenness. Are we hearing that call? Are we recognizing the voice of God? Are we prepared to respond? Who is there when God calls? Who will go?
Thank you. I hear a call, now the love.